but let us look just for a few minutes at a verse that we would like to close with, and that's in Romans chapter 13. 13th chapter of Romans. Reading at verse 11, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in immorality and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. I suppose the little thought that I would like to leave with us as we bring our conference to the close tonight is a little expression found in verse 11 concerning time. We are really a time-oriented people, aren't we? You know, you're punching time clocks, and we're constantly looking at the time, and when the preacher preaches, you look at the time when he gets up, and then you look at the time when he gets done, and when people pray, you look at the time when they start, and then you look at the time when they're done, and then you tell your husband that he prayed too long, and we're constantly bombarded with time. Yet the Scripture says that knowing the time. I wonder if we really do know the time. I don't mean the time on the clock. I mean, do we know just what hour we're in? You know, as far as the Scriptures are concerned, and as far as the clock of prophecy is concerned, we must be living in the very end of the end time, aren't we? It just seems to be that everything is telling us that the coming of the Lord Jesus is very, very near. Everything that seems to be shaping up in the world today tells us that the days of the tribulation period are right at hand. You're soon going to be buying all of your groceries and all of your shopping on the virtue of that little line of marks on your grocery items and on your merchandise. You won't need any cash. You'll have a number. It'll be indelibly inscribed in your right hand or your left hand, maybe, and your forehead, and it'll be read by a scanner. And all of these things tells us, you know, that we're moving right on into the tribulation period. But wait a minute, are we? Not me. Not me. Because I'm a Christian, and I'm not going to be here for the tribulation period. Not even a part of it. I don't believe that the church will be left for any part of the tribulation period. God has not consigned us to judgment. He has not appointed us to wrath, but He has appointed us unto salvation. And there's different aspects of salvation. When He talks about our salvation being nearer than when we believe, that should be enough to make us very aware of the fact that there is a salvation that the Bible speaks about, which is not the salvation of the soul at all. There's a salvation of the body that the Bible even speaks about. And then there's a salvation of the time when Christ comes, the rapture of the church, the taking of the Christian onto heaven. That's the time of salvation, and that's the one He's talking about. He says our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Well, I have to say, well, Lord, that means about 40-some years I'm nearer to it than when I believe, because I became a Christian when I was 9, and I'm 49 now. And I'm 40 years nearer to the time when the Lord Jesus will come than I was 40 years ago. Good news to me. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So He says that knowing the time, when we look on the prophetic calendar and we see what's happening in the world today, then we know that the tribulation period has to be just around the corner, but the coming of the Lord Jesus has to take place before that. So don't you see where we are tonight? Just about ready to sign up the 10th nation to the League of Nations for the European Common Market. Just about ready for that. Just about things are fulfilled, you know, for the 10 toes and the things of Daniel's prophecy. And oh, just about ready for the stone cut out of the mountain without hands to crush those 10 stones. Just about ready for the revival of the Roman Empire. We're just right there, beloved. We're just right there. Do you know the time? And for us who are Christians, doesn't that put a real sense of pleasure and joy in our hearts? And they would like to go that way. And the reason and the argument behind that is that if they die as a Christian, and then they will still be there at the time of the rapture because they go first, then they say they get the double experience. Now that sounds very good, and I'm not being critical of that, but I don't buy it. Because I don't like death that well. I see death as still an enemy. I see death as still carrying the sting with it, and it means separation from loved ones, and I just... Maybe I'm not afraid of death, but I have to confess I'm a little afraid of dying. You know, the process of getting there. The actual going across into the other side, that doesn't scare me at all, but I don't like to suffer, and I don't like to think about the process of dying. That doesn't hold any real thrills for my soul. But the coming of the Lord, well, if we're going to have to go, that's the way we prefer to go. And we can all go together, can't we? You know, it would be so possible that before we ever meet together at a conference or ever meet together in any other circumstances that we'll just all be with the Lord, gathered around Him. The last precious promises of the Bible, three times stated in the book of Revelation, is, "Behold, I come. Behold, I come quickly." And what's the last prayer of the Bible? How does the heart respond? Amen. I don't see how you sit there quiet like that. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And that's the way the Bible closes. My, I tell you, that's a good way to close a conference too. The Lord Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. His coming is near. And those of us who are saved can say, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to meet you in the air. But then, of course, our brother has been laboring the point tonight that there might be someone here who is not saved. Maybe one of the younger folks. Maybe you're playing games with God. Maybe you're trifling with this matter of your soul's salvation. It just seems that, you know, you've heard these things so often, and you almost take the attitude of the scoffer that says, oh, I've heard these things preached over and over and over again. I've heard these things all my life, and the Lord hasn't come yet. A scoffer came to my house many years ago when I was still on the farm. I didn't know he was a scoffer at the time. He'd flown over the farm that I didn't own. My dad owned the farm, took a picture of it from the airplane, had the picture developed, drove in my yard with a car, and wanted to sell me the picture of the farm. And it was a busy day on the farm, and it was time for me to be out in the field because it was right at the high day and work had to be done. And so he showed me the picture of the farm, and he wanted to sell me a colored print, and I declined. I said, no, thanks. Now, number one reason why I didn't buy the picture probably was because I didn't have the $15, which was quite a bit of money in those days. I was just getting started farming, and I didn't have $15 too handy not to spend on a picture. So I said, no, I don't want the picture. Well, he said, why don't you want the picture? I said, well, tell you why, this is not my home. Oh, you mean you don't live here? Oh, yeah, I live here, but this is not my home. Now, so I'll tell you two reasons why this is not my home. First of all, Dad owns the farm. Second, I've got a home in a better place. And as soon as I said that, he packed up his suitcase, and I thought he was going to go away in anger, but he sat down on it, and we started talking, you know, 60 miles an hour about religion, as he would call it. And talked to him about be around, and then the Lord's coming anyway. No use for me to work. And, of course, the apostle had to write the letter back and say, hey, look, don't take it quite like that. You get back to work, because if you don't get to work, you'll get busy in other men's matters, and you see, those dear believers were taught to look for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, God's people have been looking for that ever since that, and we're still looking for it tonight, and we still believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and He's coming very soon, and our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Now, do you know the time? Now, let's look at this from another viewpoint. What about the time of your death? I believe in people getting saved in the 11th hour of their life. I really do. Thief on the cross, I guess we could say that he got saved in the 11th hour of his life. I really do. I believe in the 11th hour experience of salvation for you too, if you're not saved. But the only question I have is, when is your 11th hour? You don't know when your 11th hour is. You may be in your 11th hour right now, see? We're talking about the 11, 15 yards from where his body landed after he collided with that car. From an unsaved home. Probably an unsaved boy. And I had the responsibility of preaching that funeral. That was difficult. That lad didn't know when he climbed on that motorcycle that day and went speeding down that country road and shot across those four corners
on a road that's hardly traveled, you know, at all. He never once thought about this being the end. Never once did he imagine that there could be a car coming from the other way. Just as a young lad will do, he shoots across the intersection and the car was there at the same time and his body goes flying through the air and he's instantly killed. We don't know when the last time is. We don't know the day of our death. But I do know this. God says it's high time for us to awake out of our sleep. It's high time. It's high time. Not just time, but high time. My wife and I stopped at Turner Falls on our way up here. We were pulling our travel trailer. And I'd come as far as I cared to come. And getting on into the late hours of the evening, not night, evening. So we found a camping spot, Turner Falls. Went up above Turner Falls. I don't suppose you Oklahomans know where Turner Falls is, but it's down the way here a little ways. Went up above Turner Falls, and up above the falls there's a sign, "Do not go beyond this point." That could be the point of no return. That's past redemption's point, you know. For people who are playing above the falls, wading in the water and so on, but don't go beyond this point. They tell me that on the Niagara River, there's the point that is called past redemption's point. And here comes a person who is sleeping in his boat, and he's lulled by the waves and rocked to and fro, and he goes to sleep, and the boat keeps on going till he's past redemption point. Then what? Over the falls. Now, it's a very serious thing to play loose and fast with this business called time, because we know this about time. It is high time for us to awake out of our sleep. If you're not saved, it is time for you to be saved, because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You know how much time you really own? You don't own 20 minutes till 8. 19, I lost track of the calendar. What are we, August 21? October 21? I'm not quite that bad. October, is this the 21st? 22nd? Okay. You'll never see the 20 minutes to... with the luxuries of our world and our society. It's really hard sometimes to tell a sleeping person from a dead one. You know, I've walked into rooms of people who were sound asleep. And when people sometimes lay on their back, and their mouth drops open just a little bit, and perhaps the false teeth are not in, they look pretty much like they're dead. And sometimes about the only way you can tell whether they're alive or dead is to listen for the heartbeat or watch the movements of the chest or feel the pulse or something. You see, there's such a similarity between people who are dead and people who are sound asleep. Now, that doesn't speak very well for us Christians who have gone sound asleep spiritually, does it? We're Christians, but you know, it's hard to tell us from people who are dead because we're so sound asleep. There's life there, there's pulse there, but you have to get down close to feel it and find it. You know, people who are really Christians ought to be alive. We ought to be on fire. We ought to be out in motion for God. It's high time we awake from our sleep because our little day of service will be done oh so soon. Poor old Leonard, just about finished. I don't think he's past 70, but he's just about finished. Oh. Man's life is so brief. Bible speaks of it as being a handbreadth. Remember that in Psalm 39? A handbreadth was a form of measurement, and it was the width of three fingers. And I look at my three fingers and I say, Milo, your life is a handbreadth. Finger number one, babyhood. Finger number two is adolescence. And I passed the babyhood and I passed the adolescence because the young people don't invite me to their young people's meetings anymore. Number three is middle age. I know I'm there because of the spread, but that doesn't last very long either. Next move is finger number four. There goes old man Vandycrawl. See his bald head shining in the sun. Finger number four. You see how far down the line I am already? And here I am, not yet 50 years old. And if my next 50 years goes as fast as my last 50 years, I don't know what I'm going to do. And this thing kind of gets me nervous once in a while because I realize that if I'm going to do anything for God, I'm going to have to do it in a hurry because I'm in the very best of my life right now. And it won't be very long and I'll be as old as Leonard. And then I've had it. Know it for sure. You'd like to. But don't you see, beloved, what's happening? Our little lives just ebb away, and so swiftly they move out. If we're going to do anything for God, we better wake up and get it done now, because it's high time that we awake out of our sleep. Shall we pray? Father, we ask Thee to bless us as we bring this conference to its close. Help us to realize that the time of Your coming is drawing near. We don't know the time of our death, but we're thankful for everyone here who is ready to die, everyone who is ready to go. We thank Thee for the glorious prospect that we have, that the Lord is coming and coming so soon. And Father, we just pray that in the meantime we will live so as to please God. Oh, Father, we realize tonight how easy it is for us to waste our life and not do the things that are pleasing to God because we're busy pleasing ourselves. Father, help us to get our priorities straightened around and help us to live to please You, Lord. And we just pray that this little life, which is the only one that we have, that we'll live it for the praise and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for this conference, for the dear Christians and all those who have come to share these times with us, for everything that we've enjoyed this weekend so much. We praise You for it and ask that blessing upon us as we separate. In Jesus' name, amen.